But amen. Luke 24 and verse number 1. Luke 24, verse 1. Amen. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And if God will help me, I saw that word found two different times in these verses. If the Lord will help me for a little while, I want to preach on what they found in the graveyard. What they found in the graveyard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for letting me be able to come to church this morning. I pray you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. I pray you'd preach me with power and unction that I don't have. Dear God, I pray that you'd help me to magnify your name, Lord. I sure am a miserable mess, dear God, that should not be allowed to do it in the first place. But God, I'm thankful you called me, and I pray you'd use me. God, you asked me to do it, and I want to do what you told me to do. And I pray, God, that'd be a help to your people this morning. I pray, dear God, if somebody here is lost, they'd get saved. If somebody here is saved and just not walking close to the Lord, walking a guilty distance from him, that this morning they'd get things right. Lord, I pray, Father, that we'd fall more in love with our Lord Jesus than we ever have before. God, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Boy, I got to look at this verse over here in Luke 24. Bible said right there in verse number 2, said, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Boy, I got to read down through here. And what did they find when they got the tomb? And boy, I wrote down a couple of things. It's nothing deep this morning. It's a shallow. There's no way you can drown in it, but I'm enjoying it anyway. Amen. If you want something deep, you might have to go somewhere else. I'm telling you, it ain't deep this morning, but I'm glad Jesus got up. Amen. Hey, Bible said in verse number 3, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, I wrote this down. What they found in the graveyard was they found that Jesus was not there. Amen. I'm glad that whenever you look in the graveyard and try to find Jesus, he is not there. He is alive and rose just like he said he would. Amen. He's alive and well. Amen. He died, he buried, but on the third day, he got up. Amen. Yeah, man, the resurrection. I'll tell you, if he didn't get up, then we're in hopeless shape this morning. Preaching is worthless. Church is worthless. Living for God is worthless. Being saved is worthless. Hey, doing anything for the Lord is worthless. Hey, but if he got up, it's all wonderful, amen. If he didn't get up, we're of all men most miserable. But thank God, he got up, amen. He got up. Amen. And by the way, he's the only one that did it by his own power. Amen. Lazarus got up, but he got up because Jesus told him to get up. Amen. That little girl that they said they laughed him to scorn, and he said, oh, she just sleep. I'll go wake her up for you. Amen. And he walked in, and she got up. Amen. Hey, but listen, didn't get up by her own power. She got up because Jesus told her to get up. Amen. He was walking by a funeral procession as they take a young man to the graveyard. And while they're taking him, all he did was touch the casket of the dead man, and he sat up alive. Amen. He didn't get up by his own power. He got up because Jesus got him up. Amen. Hey, but Jesus had nobody else to get him up. But he got up by his own power and by his own strength. He rose on the third day. Amen. 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 Ain't you glad Jesus got up out of the grave? I'm glad when they went looking for him, he wasn't there to be found. He wasn't looking for him, but they couldn't find him. Amen. And let me give you this. Boy, look at verse number 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, I would be too, wouldn't you? And bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? But I wrote down this. What did they find in the graveyard? They found out they were looking in the wrong place. Amen. But I thought about this and I was lost. I was looking at all the wrong places for what I needed. Hey, Jesus, and what I needed was not in the graveyard. He wasn't in the graveyard. So why are you looking for a living person in a dead place? Amen. 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 The world's searching him out in a beer bottle. They're searching him out in drugs. They're searching him out in premarital sex. They're searching him out in every kind of sin they can search him out in. But there is no sin that'll ever satisfy like Jesus. Amen. 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 If you look for him everywhere else but church, I'm telling you, it ain't even just church. You better look for him in salvation more than anything. Amen. But because I got saved, it made me want to show up at church. Amen. Hey, because I wanted to hear more about him. I wanted to learn more about him. I wanted to learn everything I could about him. Amen. One who loved me and died for me. Amen. They found Jesus was not there. They found they were looking in the wrong place for Jesus. I want to give you this, Mark 16 and verse 6. I'm just giving you what God gave me. Mark 16, verse 6. Boy, I love these verses. If you go through all the, I tell you what would be a good thing for you to do if you ain't ever done it before, read every one of them chapters that talks about the resurrection. Read Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John chapter 20, and they all talk about the resurrection. And somebody may say, you know, why did God allow different people to write about the resurrection? Why did God not just put it on Luke's heart or Mark's heart or why did he not just put it on Matthew's heart? Why is there four different views of the resurrection? Boy, somebody said it this way and it made good sense. If you got a family portrait album, you don't have just one portrait in that album. You have a bunch of family portraits because it describes that individual in a bunch of different ways. They may have loved to fish. They may have loved to go hunting. They may have loved to play sports. They may have loved to race a car. They may have loved old-timey cars. Hey, but you would not know any of that had you only had one picture. Hey, but if you got more than one, then it shows more about them. But I say this, if every book had ever been wrote that could be wrote about Jesus and everything could be wrote that would magnify every area of the Lord Jesus' life, then the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Hey, because there's no book that could describe how great Jesus really is. Amen. The Bible does a wonderful job of telling us a lot about him. But I'm going to tell you, even the Bible itself said, if all the books were written, the world itself could not contain it. Amen. Matthew 16 and verse number 1 again, it said, when the Sabbath was passed, or Mark chapter 16 verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. I do want to say this. I wasn't going to say this, but I just kind of got this on my heart anyhow. But I say this, it was a brand new day. They found a brand new day. Day two, they was weeping. Day two, they was crying. Day two, they were doubting. And day two, the devil was having a jubilee. Hey, but on day three, devil shut his mouth. Hey, the death couldn't find him. Hey, and they couldn't find him either because he got up. He got up, amen. Amen. It was a brand new day. It wasn't a day of doubt. It wasn't a day of discouragement. He had got up, amen, and was alive and well. Verse 4, and when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Can I say this? What was between them and Jesus wasn't between them no more. Amen. They found at the grave that what was between them and Jesus wasn't between them no more. And I can say this morning, I don't have to have a priest this morning. I don't have to go to a little confessional booth and confess my sin to some knothead through some knothole. Amen. I don't have to do that. Amen. All I us run to God, because I have access to the Lord Jesus. There's nothing between me and Him. There's nothing blocking Him from me. And there's nothing blocking me from Him. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad the veil was rent from top to bottom. When He cried, "It is finished," the Bible didn't say it was ripped from the bottom to top, because that'd mean man did it. It said it was ripped from top to bottom. That means God ripped it. Amen. That means God tore the veil wide open so we could get in. Amen. Amen. Verse 5, "And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And He saith unto them, Be not affrighted." You seek Jesus of Nazareth. Hey, you looking for Jesus, ain't you? Amen. Me too. I'm looking for Him too. He's coming again. Amen. "Which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him." Boy, I read that and thought this. When they come to the grave, what they found was a victor, but they was looking for a victim. Amen. When they come to the grave, they was looking for a bruised, battered, bloody Jesus laying in the grave dead with no hope of ever getting up again. But what they found was not a dead Jesus laying in a grave. They didn't find Jesus bloodied in a mess. Hey, they found a risen Savior, a victor, not a victim. Amen. Hey, listen, He was not laying there dead and hopeless. He was alive and walking around. Amen. Amen. They looked for a victim, but they found a victor. Amen. Let me give you this. They found out He had a love for fallen people. Look at this. Verse number 7. "But go your way." He said, "Go ahead. Tell His disciples." Boy, wouldn't that have been enough? Ain't Peter one of them? Ain't Peter one of them? He's a disciple, ain't he? But they made sure they differentiated Him. They wanted them to know, hey, you may not think you should go to Peter because he messed it all up, but I got news. This risen Jesus loves fallen people that have ruined their lives. And you can go to Peter. You can tell him the same story. Amen. That's what the Bible said. "But go your way and tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee." Boy, I like that. Hey, listen, Peter's done messed it all up. Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. Peter is tore up. I'd say when they found Peter, he was probably laying on the ground weeping, praying, asking God to forgive him for how bad he'd messed it all up, telling God he's sorry for how bad he'd been living, telling God he's sorry for cussing and denying that he even knew Him. Can you imagine Peter? Imagine the scene we're talking about. Him, Peter's sitting here. He's knelt down, praying, weeping, crying, asking for forgiveness. Hey, just wanting to be forgiven. And here comes somebody named Mary, taps him on the shoulder and says, "The Lord got up." And not only did he get up, but he wants disciples to come and meet him. And Peter, I got good news for you. He didn't just ask for all the disciples. He differentiated your name. He made sure we knew to come and get you, Peter. Amen. He knows you messed up, but He loves you so much He still wants you to come, Peter. He still wants you to be there. Amen. I'll tell you this morning, if you've messed up, you've done things you ought not do. And by the way, if you say you hadn't, you're lying through your teeth. Amen. I'll tell you, lying. Amen. Everybody in here is messed up at some point in time. But ain't you glad we serve a God who loves and cares and still comes after people who have fallen and messed up? Amen. Now, I don't believe you'll just keep living like that. I don't believe you'll just keep living messed up, living wrong, doing wrong. But listen, I'll tell you this, when you are, there's still a loving God after you and wanting to help you. Amen. Amen. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Well, I read that and thought this. They realized, they found purpose. They found purpose. So what's the purpose? Tell the whole world Jesus is alive. That's the purpose. That's why we're here, by the way. If getting saved was all God wanted for your life, then when you got saved, he would let you die or get raptured right at that very moment, and you'd have done been gone out of here. If that's all God wanted, you'd already be gone, but that ain't all God wanted. God wants you to serve him. God wants you to live for him. God wants you to tell the world that his son is alive and well. Amen. Amen. Let me give you this. John chapter number 20. And then I'll give you Romans and I'll be done. Amen. I'm telling you, I just preach what God told me to preach to you. But John chapter 20 and verse number 6. Look a little ahead of that. Verse number 4. So they ran both together. They're both going, Peter and John are both going to the tomb. Brother Kevin read this earlier. Boy, I found this verse comical myself. Because, you know, if men are competitive. Anybody agree with that? That's a man. You agree? We're competitive. If I saw two bullfrogs jumping down the road, I'd root for one of them. Amen. I am competitive. I like being competitive. I like playing sport. I like all that. If you beat me at something, I'm liable just to quit. Amen. God, I want to win. Amen. We're going to play to you so tired we can't play no more. Amen. God, I'm going to win before it's all over with at some point in time. Amen. Verse number 4. We find out John, I believe John was competitive. So how do you believe that? Read verse 4. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. I like that. Old John said, I beat old Peter. I beat him. I won. We ran, and I whooped him. Amen. John said, if he said it in redneck terms, he said, I outran a scared haint. That's how fast I ran. Amen. You know what a haint is? Ask somebody else. Amen. Amen. It's a spook, but by the way, there ain't no spooks. Amen. Amen. But anyhow, verse number 5. And he's stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. He looked in and saw that Jesus was not there, but he would not go in. But I like Peter. He just bold and half the time ignorant and just does it anyway. That's why I like him. I'm so much like him. I just do things ignorantly, and a lot of times they just work out anyway. Oh, Lord, help us. Anyhow, he said in verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seen the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Look, Kevin hit this morning a little bit already, but I'll say this in a Jewish custom. Boy, a Jewish custom, a servant would feed his master. And when they were feeding them, if they were done, they would wrap up their napkin. After they were through, and they would throw that napkin wrapped together, not wrapped together as in folded, but wadded, and throw it on the table. And that lets the servant know, I'm done. You can take my plate. I'm through. You can have my plate. I'm done. You can take my plate. I'm finished. Don't want nothing else. But if they took that same napkin and they would fold it and they lay it there neatly, that just meant I went to the bathroom. I went to go do something else, but I am coming back and I'll eat this. I'm not done yet. Don't take my plate. I'm not done eating it yet. I'll be back in a little while, get that plate, and I'll eat it. Oh, and it means two things. It means one, it means I ain't done yet. That's what it means in Hebrew. Ain't. No, just kidding. Hebrew. It ain't Hebrew. But I tell you, he ain't done yet. He ain't done yet. Amen.
Jesus is not done. He's not a defeated victim. He's a victorious victor. Amen. He's won it all. Amen. But I like this, that Jesus is not done doing a great work in the life of lost people and believers. If you read the next book after this chapter, after this two chapters, after chapter 21 and 21 is done, the book of Acts, Jesus is doing all kinds of stuff in the life of his apostles and disciples. Amen. Amen. But Jesus is not done. He said, let me fold that napkin. Hey, listen, it must have been important to him. You say, well, Brother John, that's not in the Bible. I'm just telling you Jewish history of why he must have did what he did. But listen, you say, well, it ain't that important. Well, it must be because he took one whole verse to say something about it. Ain't nothing else in that verse you just read. Nothing. You say, well, just one verse. Is anything really that important in one verse? Let me tell you this. We have the Trinity wrote in one verse. Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. One. We have the Trinity, one verse, 1 John 5:7, one verse. You want to know how the stars was made? And the Lord, and God made the stars also. That's one verse. So every star you look out and see at night was made, but God didn't see fit to put it but in one verse. He put the Trinity in one verse. And then here in one verse, he's given us something important that he did. He laid that napkin to the side. And the napkin, and it made sure it called it a napkin. He couldn't have called the cloth. He could have said linen, but he said napkin. And the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I can see Jesus' clothes over here. He's gone. He's not in them. He's alive and he's well. But then over here by itself, in a place where everybody would be looking for where his head was, that napkin wrapped around his head, laid a folded napkin to say, I am not done. I am not done. And then also said, hold on a minute. I'm coming back. Amen. And that napkin yells to me and it yells to you that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. Amen. Amen. If I was to ask you this, how many, you got to raise your hand. Let me ask you. You said, Brother John, if he was to come back right now, I know where I would go. I know I'd go with him. I know I'd be with him. I know I'd see him. I know that I'd live with him forever. Amen. Amen. Brother John, if he was to come right now, I've been living the way I ought to be living. I wouldn't be a bit ashamed. Or you sit here and you say, Brother John, I'd be ashamed the way I live sometimes. If he came right now, I believe that's all of us to an extent. Amen. Amen. Boy, I want to live for him that when he comes, I've lived for him the way I ought to. That's not determining whether I get to heaven or not. But I want to live for him like I ought to, that when he does come, he's not ashamed of the way I live my life. Amen. Romans 6, I'm through. Last verse, I'll give it to you. Romans 6. Romans 6. I got thinking, that's good. That's good what they found in the graveyard. That's good Mary found something. But I'm glad Peter found something. I'm glad John the disciple found something. But I tell you, I found something. He said, you ain't never been there. Oh, yeah, I have. I was there when he died. Hold on a minute. I was there when he's buried. He said, oh, no, you were. Oh, yeah, I was. I was there when he got up. Yeah, I don't need to go to Israel. Don't need to buy no ticket. I done been to Israel. I done been to Jerusalem. I done been there. Yeah, man. Didn't have to buy a ticket. Didn't have to get in no plane. I just went by the way of Calvary. Amen. That's how I got to Jerusalem. I went by Calvary. Amen. Listen to Romans 6. He said in verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ We're baptized, and by the way, time out, take time out on this thing, talking about physical baptism, talking about spiritual baptism, talking about dying out to what you used to be and being made alive. Amen. That's why baptism is a picture of what Jesus did on the inside. It's just a physical picture of what he spiritually did in our lives. Amen. Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. You say, you wasn't there at Calvary? Oh, yeah, I was. I died when he died. I like that. Listen, you say, what did you find out in the graveyard? I found out that what I used to be could die. What I used to be could die and not be alive anymore. Amen. Bible said he took all them ordinances against me, took them out of the way, nailing them to his cross. Amen. Well, I love these verses. He buried me. He buried me is what he did. What I used to be, how I used to live, what you used to be before you got saved. You say, what did he do? He buried it. He buried it. By like he killed it. He buried it. When he died, I died. When he died, I died. When he's buried, Brother Corey, I got buried. Brother Tony, but when he got up, I got up too. I tell you what I found in the graveyard. I found a brand new life down at the graveyard. Amen. You say, there ain't no good news in graveyards. Oh, yes, there is. There's a brand new life. Ain't no lost man, woman, boy, or girl in a graveyard. Amen. Listen to this. He said, verse number 4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I tell you what, I got in the graveyard, a brand new life. Listen, I went down and while I had song that Jesus buried my past. He buried it so deep you can't find it if you was to look for it. The devil may bring it up, and he loved to tell me all of what I used to do, but it's been so buried, it's buried so deep, and there's no record of it any longer, amen. Amen. But I tell you, if you've been saved any length of time, it's buried. If you just got saved today, it's buried. If you got saved last night, guess what? It's buried. Buried, 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 buried. It's gone's what it is. It's gone, amen. Gone. Amen. You ask me why I'm happy. I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're gone. They're gone. God help us. They're gone. They're gone. You say, what can I find in the graveyard? You can find a brand new life. And if you have, we ought to thank God for what happened in the graveyard. That he buried what we used to be and brought us up a brand new person. If I took it around the church this morning and let you tell what you was before you got saved and let you tell what he did when you got saved and what kind of person you are today, I believe person after person after person could say, I found a new life in a graveyard. A new life in a graveyard. Believe if you come to piano, if you stand on your feet, eyes closed, head bowed, that's what God told me to preach to you. What kind of news can I find in a graveyard? All kinds of it. You can find all kinds of stuff in the graveyard. Find a brand new life in the graveyard. Find out Jesus ain't there when you get to the graveyard. He ain't dead. You ain't found no victim, but you found a victor when you got the graveyard. He's not laying down defeated and doomed. He won. And I win because he won.